Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
And I think they portrayed what ultimately is the outcome of Saipan is that everyone was wrong. It was a very sad thing to happen and it was kind of needless. So for that, it's good. But for what it misses, it just, for me, it just misses so much.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Michael Carrick will be in charge of Manchester United until at least the end of this season. Barnsley boss Conor Hourihan accuses Liverpool midfielder Dominic Szoboszlai of being disrespectful in last night's FA Cup tie at Anfield. And with Evan Ferguson out with an injury, has he received a boost to his chances of staying with Roma? But first, Manchester United are expected to announce Michael Carrick as their new interim manager later on today. United have reached an agreement in principle to appoint their former midfielder until the end of the season. Carrick took charge of three games as a caretaker boss in 2021 when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sacked. He beat Arsenal in one of those three games. Former Chelsea and England assistant Steve Holland will be named as one of Carrick's assistant managers. Jonathan Woodgate, Johnny Evans and Travis Binion will also be part of his staff. United's next game is the Manchester Derby at Old Trafford on Saturday. Then after that, it's a trip to Premier League leaders Arsenal. Carrick's last job was with Championship side Middlesbrough. He took over in October 2022. He helped them reach the playoffs that season. The next season, they finished 8th. And last season, Borough finished 10th, which resulted in him being sacked during the summer. As a player, Carrick made 464 appearances for United in his 12 years. He won 5 Premier League titles as well as the Champions League. And on last night's football show, football writer Henry Winter joined Owen Sheehan and said that Carrick understands what the club is all about.
I think they probably like him stepping into midfield, even at 44. He will bring a bit of sort of mobility and pace and vision. But I just think they need him in the dugout. I mean, look, I'm biased. I spent a year helping him write his autobiography and got to know him and his family quite well. And he, you know, his blood is Manchester United red. I mean, obviously he comes from Newcastle, went to West Ham, out on loan to Swindon. But Manchester United is huge for him. And I remember him talking at a very early age when he was at West Ham as an apprentice, and one of his roles was to keep the corridor outside the away dressing at Upton Park tidy. He must have been about 16, 17. And he just stood there in awe as the Manchester United players coming through, and it was the Keane generation. He just looked at them in their smart blazers, but just the aura they had about them. And he sort of said to himself, I just want to play for this club. Just everything about them, the crest, but the aura. And Manchester United still have the crest, but they don't have the aura. And I think that although he's far from a keen type on and off the pitch, he understands what Manchester United need. And that is width, that is the promotion or the encouragement of youth players. It's a back four and it's about being on the front foot. And I think in a way the interim at Manchester United probably suits him because he knows what the fans want and he can go for it a bit more. At Middlesbrough he was a bit more reactive.
Carrick played for Martin Jarl at Tottenham, and the Dutchman says Carrick is an ideal manager.
Michael was too good for Middlesbrough because I followed him over the last 3 or 4 years. He did so well. I'm 100% certain that if Michael would have taken over from Solskjaer, they would have been a top club again over the last couple of years. For me, he's an ideal manager.
Barnsley boss Conor Hourihan has accused Liverpool's Dominic Szoboszlai of being disrespectful in their FA Cup third round defeat at Anfield last night. It finished 4-1. Szoboszlai scored the goal of the game, but when it was 2-0, the midfielder gifted the League One side a goal when he tried to backheel the ball to his own goalkeeper. The former Ireland international Hourihan doubts he would have tried it against higher level opponents.
A little bit disappointed with our goal, if I'm honest, because I felt, you know, I don't think he does. The player does that against Chelsea or against Arsenal or in the Champions League game. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, if I'm honest. But I thought my lads were top.
For you, just a moment of disrespect there to be as lazy and to make the mistake like he did?
Yeah, potentially. I don't think he does that in the Premier League game against Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City, Champions League game. I don't think he does that. So I was a little bit disappointed with that.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot said the Hungarian made a weird choice and he plans to sit down with Szoboszlai.
Just had the Barnsley manager Connor in there. He said he felt like it was disrespectful from Szoboszlai there. It's a mistake, but what's your take on it?
What does he mean with disrespectful?
He said he didn't think he would do it in a Premier League game to try and backheel the ball like that. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on it and how you reacted at halftime.
I don't think you should do that in an FA Cup game or a League Cup game or in a friendly game or in a training session. So it's a weird choice. And I also have my opinion about it, but I prefer to keep that to myself and speak about that with Dom.
Liverpool's reward for that win last night is a fourth round tie at home to Brighton. Last season's beaten finalists Manchester City have been drawn against the winners of Salford and Swindon. Aston Villa will take on Newcastle in an all Premier League clash. Arsenal will be at home to the 2013 winners Wigan. And non-league Macclesfield's reward for knocking out the holders Crystal Palace is another home game against Premier League opposition. This time it'll be against Keith Andrews' Brentford side. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola knows they'll have their work cut out against Newcastle tonight in the first leg of their League Cup semi-final. City lost 2-1 to Newcastle at St James's Park in the Premier League back in November, which was their last domestic defeat.
Since Eddie Howe took over so many years, so look how many games won in the last minutes. You know, the crowd push always have been like that, right? But at the same time, in semi-finals, you always play against Arsenal or Chelsea, will be as difficult as Newcastle is. Should not be, I would say, differently.
Meanwhile, Newcastle boss Eddie Howe believes his side will have to take a lead from the home leg.
The natural preference is for the home game to be the second leg because you have a clear understanding of what you need to do and you have the home crowd with you. This is going to be a totally different one. I think Manchester City, the hardest team to play over two legs in the country. Pep, I'm sure, will tactically have something ready for us. We'll have to be at our very best to try and get through.
Newcastle will be without Tino Livramento, who joins their injury list, but Anthony Elanga and Jacob Murphy could return to the squad. Kick-off at St James's Park tonight is 8 o'clock. New Chelsea boss Liam Rossina admits he'd love to emulate the longevity of Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta. Chelsea and Arsenal meet tomorrow night in the first leg of the other semi-final in the League Cup. Rossina was appointed on a six-year contract at Stamford Bridge last week, and he says if he wants to match Arteta's stay in the job, he has to win trophies.
This word project comes out a lot, but the idea in any project is that every game you play, you're trying to win it. My focus is, yes, I've got ideas about what I want the team to look like in a year's time, 2 years, 3 years' time. But I think I've got enough resources and enough tools with me now to win now.
Evan Ferguson will miss Roma's Coppa Italia last 16 clash against Torino on Tuesday night. But the Ireland striker isn't expected to be out for too long. The 21-year-old came off in the first half of Saturday's 2-0 win in Serie A over Sassuolo after he suffered a painful knock to his lower back. After the match, Roma boss Giampiero Gasperini described it as a serious bruise, but he was calm about the prognosis, and Ferguson may not be in the squad for their home tie against Torino, but he could return on Sunday for their league game against the same opposition. There's been plenty of talk about Ferguson's future in Italy, but he has started in Roma's last four Serie A matches. Despite public criticism from Gasperini before Christmas, Roma want to add to their attack this month, but one player who won't be signing is Atletico Madrid striker Giacomo Raspadori, who'll join Atalanta instead for €22 million. Roma could now turn to Aston Villa's Daniel Malin instead, and Tammy Abraham, who's on loan from Roma at Besiktas, could move back to Villa Park, where he had a successful spell as they got promotion from the Championship to the Premier League. Ireland goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu has joined Stoke City on loan from Southampton for the rest of the season, with the option to make it permanent in the summer. Stoke will be without first-choice goalkeeper Victor Johansson after he had surgery last week on a long-term shoulder injury. Bazunu made 96 appearances for the Saints after a £12 million move from Manchester City in 2022. He was part of the squad that were promoted to the Premier League 2 seasons ago. He has had a bad injury. He lost his place to Aaron Ramsdale before he was loaned out to Belgian side Standard Liège for the second half of last season. Bazunu played 19 times in the Championship this season, but the Saints have recently brought in Israel goalkeeper Daniel Peretz on loan from Bayern Munich. Real Madrid parted company with Xabi Alonso last night by mutual consent. The former Liverpool and Real midfielder was appointed in the summer after he left Bayer Leverkusen, who he won a German League and Cup double with 2 years ago. Alonso leaves the Spanish giants after just 28 games. He won 20 of those. Another former Liverpool player, Alvaro Arbeloa, has replaced Alonso as he moves up from coaching the B team. Spanish football writer and broadcaster Guillaume Balaguer joined Owen Sheehan last night in the football show and explained why the club and coach came to the decision.
What's the truth here? Why is he being sacked? Is it truly down to results, down to their form, or is the sort of player relationship thing a big factor in this decision?
You have to go back to when he gets chosen. It was another decision by Florentino Pérez, the chairman, but by José Ángel Sánchez, who thought perhaps Real Madrid needed a modern approach, a collective approach, more of a coach that could coach as well as just manage the players. And Florentino has never been convinced that's the way forward because he doesn't rate managers, full stop. Anyway, at that point, anyway, when they call you and you get presented into the world as Real Madrid manager, that's when you are at your strongest. So he thought, okay, I would like to start the season after the Club World Cup. And the club didn't even enter that into a conversation. They were like, nah, you are managing now, mate. So that first decision already dented his authority. And from then on, players smell, see, they know, even if they don't hear it, what's going on. And what they saw was a guy with, good ideas. But as soon as these ideas took them out of the comfort zone, they weren't going to follow. They were not going to follow because, by the way, you know, he's not going to last long here because the chairman doesn't like him or doesn't like what he proposes. He's a legend. And as you say, they had to come out with something like this, mutual agreement or whatever the word thing was, but he's been sacked. But you're also right, and I think it's interesting to go that direction in the conversation, that actually there are big clubs in Europe that have reached out in the last month or so to his agent to say, if he goes, we know we have a manager, but if we need a manager, he's top of the list. So his prestige has not diminished because Real Madrid are outliers. They do the things in their own way. There are managers for certain clubs, and there are clubs that they don't need to be managed, I guess.
And if you want to hear that chat back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Dundalk have signed former Bohemians defender Rob Cornwall for the new League of Ireland season. The 31-year-old also had spells with Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. Last season's First Division champions have already brought in Keith Buckley, Conor Kearns and Danny Mullen. And football writer Jonathan Wilson joined Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning from Morocco. Former Liverpool teammates Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane are set to meet each other once again in the Africa Cup of Nations when Egypt face Senegal in the semi-finals. It's a repeat of the 2022 decider, which Senegal won. Wilson explained why the matchup comes at a fascinating time in their respective careers.
Egypt, Nigeria and the hosts Morocco. So it's Sadio Mane against Mo Salah, first up tomorrow.
Yeah, which, you know, obviously 2022 is their famous meetings, you know, two in the space of 6 weeks. That the Cup of Nations final in Yaoundé, which finished, well, Mane missed a penalty and it finished 0-0, goes to penalties, and Mane scores the winning penalty before Salah's had a chance to take one because he's down to go fifth. And then 6 weeks later, the World Cup qualifying playoff in Dakar. It was 1-0 in Cairo, 1-0 in Dakar. That also goes to penalties. This time Salah says, right, I'm going first, I'm getting my penalty in, and he blasts it over the bar. And exactly the same thing happens, that Mane takes the fifth penalty, Senegal scores it, and Senegal win. So they have actually met twice before in Cup of Nations qualifying in 2014 when Senegal won both games. But those are the only five meetings. I got very excited. I found out that Basel had played Red Bull Salzburg in March 2014. When they were at the respective clubs, but Salah didn't play in that game, which was 10 minutes of wasted research. But anyway, at least we know he didn't play. But yeah, their relationship with Liverpool, I don't think it was terrible, but there was obviously a little bit of edge there. I mean, they've both been quite funny about that this week. Mohamed Salah seems to develop a sense of humour here, which I don't think anybody realised he had. So he was saying before the tournament that Hossam Hassan, the coach, says, oh, we've only got 2.25 players playing in Europe because one of the guys is just on the bench all the time. Well, the truth is we've only got 3 quarter players here because me and Mamusha are just on the bench all the time as well. which is sort of, the way he said it, sort of a self-deprecating humor, a little glint in his eye. You know, it sort of seemed a more sort of reflective, mature Salah than we've seen maybe in the last couple of months. He's played well this tournament. You know, he's been adorning games rather than dominating games, but you know, the third goal he got against Cote d'Ivoire in the quarterfinal was a really good bit of movement, great strength to get in front of a defender, good finish. He'd set up the second goal as his corner that led to the second goal. You know, this is the best Cup of Nations he's ever had, certainly in terms of goals, but I think in terms of performances as well. Mane, you can see he's not the player he was. I mean, he's only actually 66 days older than Salah, but he feels older than that. But still, his use of the ball, is... The angles he finds with his passes, I'd sort of forgotten how good he was at that until seeing him again live. So they're both having, I think without being outstanding, they've both had decent tournaments so far. I think Senegal haven't quite got the balance right in midfield yet. That Idrissa Gueye Papke and Habib Diarra, it's just they're a little bit flat, a little bit lacking creativity. They've been very reliant on Illiman and Jai for the creativity. And Egypt, I think, weren't great until that game against Cote d'Ivoire, and they switched to a front two. It was almost when, we need to get Salah and Marmoush in the team. Mm. Let's just stick them together up front. And that actually worked really well. They only had 29% of the ball. They blew much playing on the break, having taken an early lead. But I'd say that's their best performance at a couple of nations, probably since 2010. Senegal not quite, I think, at their best yet. Egypt starting to hit the sort of form they haven't hit since before the crisis.
And if you want to hear more conversations like that, you can do so on Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app, and you can watch it on YouTube as well. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I will be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.